Good morning, and welcome back. Such a joy to be in a room that is almost one-third full, and also to welcome all of you who are also in Emmanuel Hall joining us today as well. So we rejoice that as things open up here, we're able to begin assembling again. And since we have an abbreviated amount of time, let's turn to consider the Word of God. And this morning, we want to consider just one simple yet profound truth. And that is that the right response to glory is praise. The right response to glory is praise. If something awesome happens, you cheer. If you've known some great love, you write a song about it and you sing for joy. I think many sports fans have been reminded of the truth of this over the past several weeks as sports teams have resumed facing off against one another, yet in empty stadiums. Stadiums once filled with tens of thousands of screaming, cheering fans now are empty. But the match goes on. This past week, I was watching a match, and a goalkeeper made an amazing save. And so the one announcer declared, "He has surely covered himself in glory." And the cry rang out, and yet as you watched the match, there were no cheers. The huge stadium was silent. There were no chants. It all felt so wrong. And that's because the right response to glory is praise. The greater the glory, the louder the praise. The more widespread the glory is, the more diverse those singing will be. Our passage this morning declares the truth that there is one whose glory is limitless, one whose masterpiece is the universe. There is one whose perfection, whose beauty and goodness and grace call for a global response of adoration and joy. Psalm 96 will be our guide to glory this morning, so turn with me to Psalm 96. Psalm 96. And listen as I read it for us. Psalm 96, beginning in verse 1. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. Now, this isn't one of those complicated passages for us to spend a long time trying to figure out what is the point of what the psalmist is saying here. There's really no mystery as to what this psalm is about. The whole song is about glory and praise. Glory and praise. the great glory of the Lord and the great praise of his people. But we want to take a little bit of time to examine this in detail. You see, Psalm 96 declares three glorious truths about the Lord God, and they form sort of the hub or the center from which all of the praise, which is unmistakably repeated throughout all of this psalm, all of the praise explodes from these three truths at the center of this psalm, and they extend throughout all creation. And the first of these three great truths is found in verses 1 through 6. It is that the Lord is God alone. The Lord is God alone. The psalm begins with a threefold command for all the earth to sing to the Lord. And so the right question to ask at that point is, what makes him alone worthy of the worship of all people in all places, throughout all times, everywhere? And two reasons are given in this opening section of the song. Two reasons. The first we see is that he is the only Savior. He is the only Savior. And the second, a little further down, we see he is the only Creator. The Lord is God alone. We should worship him because he is the only Savior and he is the only Creator. The first of these, he is the only Savior, can be seen simply by observing the substance of the song that the people are called to sing. Look down at verse 2. We read, "Tell of his salvation from day to day." Now in the psalm writer's day, the people of Israel had experienced the salvation of the Lord as the enemies of the nation of Israel had been defeated. And so this song was written to celebrate that fact. In fact, this psalm, along with Psalm 47, which we considered last week, are a part of a collection of songs that were sung in celebration of the return of the Ark of Covenant into the tabernacle in Jerusalem. And so like Psalm 47, Psalm 96 is called an enthronement psalm. But we need to understand that the nation of Israel, the kingship of David, even the tabernacle, these weren't ends in and of themselves. That's what Scott read for us earlier from Romans chapter 15. They pointed forward to the grand promises that God made, that he would bring salvation not just to the people of Israel, but to the whole world. He would bring salvation to our world of sin and death, rescuing men and women who have rebelled against him and bringing them under his kingship, into his courts, in amongst himself, to his very presence, under his perfect rule of grace and love. The salvation that was promised and signposted along the way by Israel, God accomplished. God accomplished this ultimate salvation by sending his beloved, eternal Son, Jesus Christ, into the world. And through the cross, through Jesus' death and resurrection, sinners like us have been reconciled to God forever. So, Christian, Psalm 96 is your song to sing because you have seen and experienced the glory of God through salvation in Jesus Christ. Salvation from sin and death. And not merely the concept of sin or the general reality of death, but your actual sin has been covered by Christ's righteousness. Your own death has been destroyed, transformed into the doorway that leads you to everlasting life and joy with your Savior. Loved ones, this is why we have such a reason to sing. No matter what situation or circumstance of life that we face, we have reason to sing. We have reason to sing in abundance. We have reason to sing in poverty. We have reason to sing in sickness. We have reason to sing in health in every moment. We have reason to celebrate because we have been saved. This is the glory that we must declare among the nations. But there's more. We sing because the Lord has brought us salvation, and we sing because the Lord God is the one who has made all things. He is splendid. He is marvelous. We see that in verse 5. You know, this past week, the UAE has been celebrating the successful launch of the Hope Mars orbiter. Even right now, as I speak, it is making the very long 103 million kilometer journey to Mars. And it's humbling to realize that Mars is just the closest planet out from the sun, from us. It's our neighbor, 103 million kilometers. The heavens of stars and galaxies and planets, the universe astounds us with its complexity and size and beauty. But even as immense and great and splendid and majestic and big as it is, the universe serves as only a kind of a mirror to display the splendor and majesty of the Lord. God alone is worthy of worship because He is the maker of all things. Compared with Him, the gods of the peoples, verse 5 says, are but worthless idols. The Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Here we find that the psalm is stepping forward and actually inviting us in to the presence of God. You see, the living God doesn't keep His people at a distance. Here in verse 6 of Psalm 96, we're standing right on the threshold of the sanctuary of the Lord. And looking into the presence of God, what do we see? Well, just look down at verse 8, where we read, "Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth." You see, as we are invited in, what are we struck by? What do we behold? We are struck by the splendor of His holiness. Such holiness that the earth trembles. And that's the second reason given for this explosion of praise. First, the Lord is God alone. Second, the Lord God is holy. A.W. Pink calls the holiness of God a transcendental attribute. Now, that's something to remember later on today. A transcendental attribute. It means that the holiness of God runs through all of the other attributes of God and makes them beautiful. The holiness of God speaks to His otherness. He is utterly unlike anything or anyone else. He stands apart in the beauty and perfection of all that He is. Now, the holiness of God is contrasted tragically by the sinfulness of mankind. And that's why, if you remember the Old Testament passage in Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 6, when the prophet Isaiah is brought into the presence of the living God, who is proclaimed in that passage to be holy, holy, holy. What does Isaiah declare when he stands in the presence of the holiness of God? He cries aloud, "Woe is me, for I am lost." He gives himself up for dead. And that's why we see here, look down at verse 8. We are called to bring an offering and come. We must not come without the offering. Friends, Christ is the offering everyone needs so that we might come into the very presence of God and worship Him with joy. Verses 7 and 8 call on us to ascribe. Three times it's repeated. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. The word ascribe means to set down or to write down, to publish the good news to all peoples, all nations, that now in Christ the way to God has been made open through the sacrifice of the spotless Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, at the cross. This is our calling, Christians. We are heralds of this good news of great joy for all the peoples. We glorify God by calling the nations to praise Him through Jesus Christ alone. Jonathan Edwards famously put it like this. He wrote, "God is glorified not only by His glories being seen, acknowledged, mentally assented to. God is glorified not only by His glories being seen, but by its being rejoiced in." One thing that you can't miss as an observation of this psalm is the joy that simply leaps from the page. This is not a ho-hum kind of reality, but a joy that shapes and guides and determines the course of the rest of our lives and, in fact, our eternity. So, Psalm 96, verse 10, if you look down at verse 10, this here is our job description as believers. As the Lord gives us breath, we are called to say among the nations, "The Lord reigns." He governs everything and everyone. Every world power is subject to Him. Every natural power bows to His authority. And it is our joy, brothers and sisters, to proclaim the salvation of the Lord in Christ and to call on all people everywhere to come into His sanctuary, come into His kingdom. I think John Piper has been a great gift to the church in our generation, reminding us again and again of the Christian's call to take the gospel to the nations. He writes this, "When you confess Jesus as the Lord of the universe, you sign up for significance beyond all your dreams. I mean, businessmen, homemakers, students, to belong to Jesus is to embrace nations for which He died and which He will rule. Your heart was made for this, and there will always be a serious or mild sickness in your soul until you embrace this global calling." Loved ones, let's not be distracted, even in these days. Let's not be pushed off the great mission our Savior has given to us. Let's continue to pray. Let's continue to give. And let's continue to work to make Christ known among the nations here amongst us. Well, verse 10 concludes by reminding us that everything and everyone is progressing irresistibly toward the day when God will judge the peoples with equity. Friends, history is heading somewhere. That's the third and final reason for praise that we find in this psalm. We're confronted with the glorious truth that the Lord is judge of all. The Lord is God alone. The Lord God is holy. And third, the Lord is judge of all. We see that in verses 11 through 13. These verses tell us clearly how creation will respond to the day of the Lord's judgment. The heavens, the earth, the seas, the fields, and the forests will all join in rejoicing in the Lord as he comes to judge the earth and establish righteousness here. Then the long night of oppression, evil, and sin will be ended forever. One commentator describes it like this: where God rules, even his humblest creatures can be themselves. Where God is, there is singing. At creation, the morning stars sang together, and at his coming, the earth will at last join in again. And friends, we can take up this song now. In Christ, we may join in the song that the universe longs to sing again. So, brothers and sisters, are you joining in this song? Or have you been distracted by lesser joys and inferior songs? Or have you been distracted by the fears and concerns and sorrows of a broken world? Loved ones, as the world sinks in anxiety and despair and fear, these are the days when we might, by the grace of God, shine the light of the gospel more brilliantly and beautifully and more urgently. We have been called to see and to marvel at and to declare his glory among the nations. In light of that, are you satisfied with the output of your life? Nothing, friends, nothing can wholly satisfy the life of Christ within his followers except the embrace of Jesus' purpose for the world he came to save. Nothing can wholly satisfy the life of Christ within his followers except the embrace of Jesus' purpose for the world he came to save. Fame and pleasure and riches and careers are but dust and ashes in contrast with the boundless and abiding joy of working with God for the fulfillment of his eternal plans. Those who are putting everything into God's global undertaking are getting out of life its sweetest and most priceless rewards. And so they sing a new song. They sing the song of heaven. They sing the song of the redeemed. This song is recorded for us in the 5th chapter of Revelation. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation." Loved ones, let's give our lives to declare the worth of our Savior, because the right response to glory is praise. Let's pray. Father, as we have beheld your glory through your word this morning, Lord, we pray that we would withhold nothing, leave nothing in reserve, but give ourselves fully for the advance of the gospel among the nations, using the talents and the abilities that you have given us. Lord, let us be faithful in these days to declare your glory amongst the nations. Let us do this, Father, with much rejoicing, as we remember that our Savior died for us. Our Savior lives for us. Our Savior intercedes for us even now and is with us always. In Jesus' name we pray.